child is, then he does bless me and my family. I love him too.
You remind me of a lady's testimony. She was a very, very Pentecostal lady. Went to the Assembly Church in Cornell, one of the first families ever there. I'm talking about Mrs. Rotz. And she was talking about praying for this child that was sick. And he got right up and went. Isn't that queer? That's not queer. That's what she asked for. And that's what happened. And that's what the Bible says will happen.
Well, first of all, my grandma died on Friday night. I'll let you know that. But I was sure that she was a Christian, but I wasn't sure that she was a Christian. And my grandma said that she had called her on Saturday and said that that my grandma told her that she had wanted not to live anymore and that she wanted to go home and see Jesus. And she has been extremely sick. I don't know, probably 3 years now. And she is really, ever since she fell and broke her hip and got an infection and all that kind of stuff, has never really been better. And then they put her in a nursing home, and then she had pneumonia and was better and got pneumonia again. And so I think it was just all for the best that she could go home and be with the Lord. And I'm just thankful that she got to go home and be with Jesus and to be with her husband. And also, my grandma said that she also died very peacefully. She went to the bathroom. They helped her out of her bed and then brought her back into her bed. She took one breath and she closed her eyes and went to sleep. Never woke up. So I just think that it's awesome how God can take you home so peacefully without any pain or suffering. There was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember now. So.
What was the last track? I missed what you said last.
Oh, I said, I can't remember what else I was going to say, so I guess I'm done.
You did fine. For not having a memory, you did fine. Anybody else? I want to brag a little, but I think it's a brag that's good. I'm reminded of when I went to school and when I went to Bible school in the summertime as a toddler. I was that size once. And we talked about the word Protestant. What is it? Someone to tell me what a Protestant is? Well, I was impressed that the word came from protest. Not Protestant, but Protestant. And that protest was against someone that believed a lot different than we do, who's not a Protestant, but a Catholic. Now, I wouldn't pick on Catholics for anything. But they have some doctrinal statement that just isn't true. And I had a chance to talk to a guy this week who is my neighbor. He was raised Catholic. He went to Catholic schools all the way through. And well educated as a Catholic. And learned the Bible as a Catholic. But he's not happy. He's just not happy. And he knows that he doesn't have Christ in his heart. But he's not just sure how to handle this. Though I have given him some real good tips in the last 7 years that he's lived close to me. But yesterday we got into a conversation because of what's in the news and these priests going bad and so on. And I said, you know, Chuck, the Bible predicts that there will come that group forbidding of meats, forbidding a marriage, calling their leader father. When Matthew says, thou shalt call no man father except one which is in heaven. They'll call their leader infallible, which there is no such. He's beyond temptation. The Bible says Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But I was able to go over these things, and he stood there and said yes. He never said, uh-uh, I don't think so. He never even looked with a question in his eye. He listened to what I had to say. And a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes, this went on. And I was impressed later, and today I was thinking about it. I was thinking about that word, Protestant. I think that's our place in life. To let those people know that we don't believe just that way. They believe in God, we believe in God. They believe that you must make preparation for the hereafter, we believe that we must make preparation. But we don't think that it's of man. We don't think that studying a little book, that confirmation is the answer. We believe we must have a personal relationship with the Lord. Scripture comes to mind, we ask, seek, knock, and it'll be opened unto us. It feels good to do this sort of thing. And that's called testifying. Whether you do it here, or whether you do it in the neighbor's milk house, I think it'll have an effect, especially if you use Scripture. And I feel real good about that testimony or brag, whichever it is. But I wanted you to know how it went. And I gave him a Gideon Bible for he and for his boy. He homeschools. The boy is 10, I believe. And they're studying a chapter a day in their schoolwork. And I think it's great. And I'd like to help him some more.
What a fellowship, what a joy.
Testimony.
You want to know what a popcorn testimony is, or do I have to give
it? It'd be nice if you had a testimony, and then I'll explain the popcorn.
I just thank God for the friends that I have, and new friends. And I don't know, He's really blessed me in my life. I'm getting a new home, and everything is falling into place, and I have a good job. He's really blessed me in my life with a lot of things.
You listening? She wasn't going to tell us that. That was going to be a secret.
I told everybody that, so he tells
that was going to be a secret. Yeah, but here's the place to do it. Here's the place to do it. I wanted to hear. I didn't know anything about that. I thought you were a pauper and didn't even have a job.
I have a job. I had a job almost 2 years. 3 years.
Oh, that's right.
June 2nd this year, I'll be graduating, which is, I don't know, a big accomplishment, I think. And so I'm really excited for that, and I'm really, I don't know, blessed with a lot of things that the Lord has allowed me to do in school, like be it in drill choir and jazz choir and all sorts of fun stuff, so, yeah.
That's up. Whatever you want to do about this next move.
I guess I'm blessed with being born into a Christian family and then having the Lord help grandpa and grandma as they're being elderly up there. So,
very good. Now, that's not what I thought a popcorn testimony was.
And just with the placement of me being in my school, trying to help the people. So I'll just pass this on to Christopher.
Told you he'd appear.
Okay. I don't even know where to start.
Now this is really a popcorn testimony.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been blessed to the right path, I guess. I mean, I've done a lot of foolish things, and I am very blessed that someone has brought my attention to the Lord and brought me to a safer, straightened path and started a new life.
Very good. Very good. That was just fine. A popcorn testimony now. We have a little misconception here. A popcorn testimony is when you jump up, turn white, and sit down. Is that the way you heard it? Pop up, turn white. Yeah, well, I know, but that's easy for you. Very good. See, we got some testimonies. We got to hear from some people that we wouldn't have heard from. And you know what that does? It does good for us, and it does good for you. Huh? Sure. We're working.
A lady once said that if you're at a church service and they ask for testimonies and you don't stand up, it's sort of like coming to a potluck without a dish to pass. So this is my dish. One of the things God has been just seeming like reminding me a lot about lately has been to be a witness. And I appreciate that comes through your preaching, Pastor Mann, and here and through the Sunday school. You know, that we're not here to just serve our own pleasures in this life that for all of us is going to one day be over with a breath that quickly passes away like a vapor. But we're here to be a witness. We're here to do the Lord's work. And so I've been just making that a part of my prayer time. God has given me opportunities today to be a witness. And last week one night we picked up the telephone in the evening, and I was a young man from Stout. He's a college student over there. And his name is Eric, and I met him last summer at Walmart. He was one of our summer student employees, and he is a Christian, and they have a Bible study over there on Tuesday nights, and they have some that are new Christians and some that aren't sure if they're Christians or not, and he asked me to come this Tuesday night and speak to their group, and he just said speak to all whatever. So I thought, okay, there's an answer to prayer. That's an opportunity to be a witness to some college students, and so this is sort of a prayer request and a testimony, but if I guess that I'd appreciate your prayers if God puts me on your mind for Tuesday night over at Stout to be a witness to these students. And it just seems like as I prayed and prepared that God was leading me to teach on sanctification and obedience and holiness. And I don't know if that's a message. I guess if that's God's word, that must be what they need to hear. I'm not sure if that's a message of college students. You know, I don't know too much about this group, but I just very much appreciate your prayers as I speak to them. Thank you.
If you give one testimony, it's good. If you give two, it should be better, right?
I suppose.
This afternoon, as we were sitting around the table, one of my great-grandsons asked Joan, my oldest daughter, if she would make him a cake, one that had like wings like this. And she said, well, I can't today. I don't have the material. I don't have time. And he went over and whispered in his grandma's ear, it says in the Bible that if you ask anything in Jesus' name, you will get it. And I thought, out of the mouth of rage, he wanted it now.
He's catching on. The other testimony, I told you I had two. Now I got to follow my wife's lead, you know. I told you that I had two, but last week, I requested prayer, and I've had a lot of prayer that I didn't request around here, and other places, other churches. A lot of people have prayed for me. But over the last some 3 years, I've had a lot of physical problems. My heart was bad, and to the point they didn't give me a lot of hope. And then a doctor says, well, we can't operate on a heart. You could never stand a minute's surgery. And so that's the end of that. I can't have surgery, so he puts me on quite a lot of medicine, and I begin to get well. And this summer, I've had four surgeries on another thing. I've had back pain for many years. I don't know how long this back pain has been, but maybe 40 years. I don't think either one of us have tried to establish a time that it started, but a lot of pain in the right back area and across and down into the hip. And there seemed to be nothing I could do. We've had prayer many times. I've had acupuncture. I've had chiropractor. I've had nerves burned at the pain clinic, and it didn't work. And then I got these gallstones, and they took the gallstones out and messed up so that I couldn't eat for 10 days. I couldn't start my stomach. And they took additional x-rays. And they had a urologist look, and he said, you've got a kidney that's not working. And if you fix the kidney, the pain will be gone. Well, that's fancy talk as far as I'm concerned. But we had to do something because the kidney was expanding, full of water and not draining off. And it was bound to be pain. So they went in to fix the kidney, and they found bladder cancer. So they couldn't fix the kidney. They took out the cancer, and the ureter was collapsed, and the kidney was in a bad way. So I had to wait a month and a half again. The next time they go in, they were able to put in a ureter and drain that kidney, and it got rid of the pain pretty well. But you got a tube in there, and it's kind of a hard rubber thing, and it hurts. And it hurts just about all the time. I thought, goodness, this kind of a cure I don't want very much. One thing led to another. They told me that they couldn't cure the cancer. It would be there, and they would have to check it every 90 to 120 days and burn it, do away with it, whatever. There would be polyps or tumors growing in the bladder. And when he went in and did the next surgery, nothing. Nothing had started. Well, he said, I can pronounce you cancer-free. And that felt good to know that it's gone. And I went in this week on Tuesday to have this evaluated, and he went over me with a fine-tooth comb, a series of x-rays that takes in excess of an hour, they waving a thing over the top of you and taking pictures in different angles and so on. And when he was done, he said, it looks good. It looks good. But I think we have to check that bladder. Now, that's not something you invite. That hurts. But he went and he checked the bladder, and he said, nothing. There's nothing there. There is absolutely no evidence there'll ever be cancer. He wants it tested a couple of more times to be sure, because 7 out of 10 of these cancers will restart. I don't think I'm going to have a problem with that. But since the day before Thanksgiving, I have not had pain in my back. And I sleep, and everything goes fine. Friday, I went to the cardiologist for that workup. And my doctor has left town, and I had to pick a new doctor from their staff in Luther. And so I picked out a Dr. Janice Clark, who's been a heart doctor there for many years now. And she went over me with smiles most of the time. And the leakage that used to be 50 to 55% on the left side of my heart, she had to try and try and try to find out if there was a leak. And there is, but very slight. And not unusual at all. And I don't need any surgery. And I don't need anything else. I got a certain amount of medicine that I've been taking, and it's working exactly right. And I'm 100% good. She said, I want to see you in a year. The first doctor that evaluated me near 3 years ago said, you'll have to see me every 10 days from now on. What does that mean, from now on? That means there's a limit. That means time may be up. She said, come back in a year, we'll do a thorough physical, but you're just fine, you're just fine. That feels good, that feels good. See, if you'd have talked longer, I wouldn't have took so long. By the way, I hope I didn't embarrass anybody on the second hand. Maybe I'm glad I did, because it gets us started. It's your turn next, but not tonight. We're going to sing a chorus and let the pastor do his job. Number 99. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Now that is a testimony in itself. If you can let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you, more importantly, in me.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen.